everybody, and welcome to Listen Money Matters. Not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted. My name is Matt, and I'm here, as always, with Andrew. Andrew, how are you, and what are you drinking?
Good. I mean, I'm literally gold. Like, that's all I've been doing for... Yeah. And the beer that I'm drinking is a little golden, maybe.
No, not at all. What is it?
It's an Oroville Trappist Ale. It has like a super cool bottle. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's narrow on the top and bottom. Mm-hmm. Looks like a bowling pin.
Trappist Ales are good, but I am truly drinking a gold.
Yeah, you are.
This is a sour blonde from Russian River. It's called Sanctification.
Sour blonde.
Yes, it is. Fermented with 100% Brettanomyces.
I thought you were going to say pretentiousness.
Brewed with 100% pretentiousness. I am literally going to, whenever I start my brewery, like that is literally what I'm going to put on the bottle. Brewed with 100% pretentiousness. I love that.
And everyone who enters be like, yeah, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. No, my God. Yeah. Wow, they weren't kidding. 100%.
Have you met that guy?
Yeah. So today's catchphrase is brought in by @NatashasNYC and is originally from Albert Einstein. Good old Al Stein. And I also want to shout out to Jamal for today's episode idea. And that idea is gold, baby.
Yeah.
All things gold. We're going to talk about gold. Gold. Gold, Jerry, gold. So tell me about gold, because here's what I'll preface it with. I feel like gold is one of those investments that people who don't do investing, that's what they end up investing in, because they're like, well, you can't go wrong with gold. Like, we know what it is. You can see it. You can feel it. You know it's valuable.
Yeah.
Well, why is gold gold? Why is it valuable? Why do we as a society value this freaking metal?
So, I mean, I don't know why specifically we valued it, and I think perhaps it was because of its looks and whatever, but, you know, I'm not the expert on that, but sure. I can tell you that over time, just humans have decided to assign value to it. And because we assign value to it, it is valuable. Perhaps not all that different from the dollar, right?
Right.
I mean, it is a stupid piece of paper. Yeah. But we assign value to it, so it has value. I mean, stock perhaps different because there's like you legally own a percentage of a company that makes money. Gold is a rock.
Sure. Very shiny.
An expensive rock. One of the most expensive rocks.
All right. So why do we invest in it? And why and I don't know. I guess this is where I'm a little lost because I don't invest in gold personally. Do you invest in gold?
I have a very, very little bit of my money in it.
Does that mean you have gold bars in your house somewhere?
So I don't. But we'll get there. So, I'm going to tell you what it's used for. So obviously jewelry, and that winds up being 80% of its use.
Yep. $100 cheesesteaks in Philadelphia.
That's right.
Sprinkle a little gold on there.
And then the actual biggest application for gold is electronics. So pretty much every solid state electronic device that you have has some gold in it. Huh. So your cell phone, your computer, GPS. And the reason is because gold is an awesome conductor of electricity and it doesn't corrode. So, and that becomes like super important.
But that's obviously not what made it valuable those years ago, right?
And that's the thing is, no, they didn't have electronics back, way back when. And also, it is such a small amount of the gold that is purchased and whatever that, it doesn't really account for any of its value.
Yeah.
Right? And just to give you like a cool thing, every cell phone that exists has roughly 50 cents of gold in it.
Huh.
So... a year that amounts to about like $500 million in gold put into cell phones. Yeah.
In phones.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, You know, if you're going to hawk, if you're going to hawk your cell phone on the corner, you can get at least 50 cents for it. Guaranteed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, I was just, yeah, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, you know, NASA uses it as well. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, so I have two really random and completely off topic questions, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
One, why do we eat gold? And who thought that that was an idea? Like, who was like, oh, let's eat this. Let's shave this rock real thin and eat it.
Tasteless, and odorless
gold. How do you digest that shit?
You probably don't. You probably it out.
It's the same doofus who was like, let's put activated charcoal in the thing.
Yeah. I tried one of them because I got sent one in the mail for free.
Uh-huh.
And it's like really gross and like it's hard on
your... Yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah. I've had a beer with activated charcoal and it looked like gray water. It was awful. It tasted good. It's just, it was,
you know, but fucking perhaps gray beer. That actually cuts to like a deeper point. Is that like, why do you have Goldschlager? Because you want to feel rich. And because gold is like money. And
well, same like with food. Yeah, when they sprinkle gold, it's like immediately fancy.
And therein lies a lot of perhaps the actual value of gold. And just to be clear, the actual value of gold has quite a bit of speculation on it. So it's like...
All right, but here... All right, so the other question that I have, and maybe I can tie this back, is you invest gold through some sort of exchange, right? Well,
okay, so you could invest in gold by like literally buying bullion or like... I don't know, collectible coins late night on like infomercials. And then you could also like, I don't know, dig a hole in your backyard, bury it and hire guards to guard the hole. But
it's very Ron Swanson of you.
Right. Or you could just, you know, buy an ETF of it online where they are essentially doing all of that and you just own like a stake in it.
Now, my question is that gold? Is it all in Fort Knox?
No.
Is that bullshit? Like, I looked up, there is a place called Fort Knox. It's real. And it's a fortified vault located in Fort Knox, Kentucky, on a adjacent to the United States Army post. And the vault is used to, I'm literally reading off of Wikipedia. The vault is used to store a large portion of United States official gold reserves and occasionally other precious items belonging to entrusted to the federal government. So that's not the gold that we're investing in.
No, that's not. That's the gold the government owns that they're not selling to us. Did you know that about 8.7, as of February 2019, about 8.7% of the U.S.'s reserves are in gold? So...
Really?
Perhaps not all that far off from the golden butterfly.
Yeah, right. So now you don't own gold. You
right.
Don't
own, I own like, bars of what is essentially a ticker symbol called GLD.
And anybody can invest.
Anyone can. And the fees are like razor thin.
Why would you want to?
Well, okay, so let's get there. Let's get there. Okay. Because I want to kind of lay out why you should even care. And I think it depends if you should care. And then like when it makes sense to even own it. Because if you were just like,
okay.
The government's going to collapse, I should put everything in gold. Like that's probably an extremely dumb idea.
I see that's what I mentioned earlier that it seems to me that the people who don't invest always end up investing in gold because they think that's like, it's a metal. Like you're literally investing in a rock that has, that we all.
Okay. So we kind of like, discussed how like it's a store of value and people used to trade it back in the day and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And people still view it like that. And it is often described as like, as a reserve currency. And so where, you know, you've probably heard, you know, China has a lot of like U.S. debt or a lot of its, you know, reserves in dollars and as do a lot of countries. That is also a similar position that gold could be in, right? Because in the way that dollars are really not useful, you know, we have assigned value to it. This is the same as with gold.
Right. Because, well, except for the fact that gold can literally be used for electronics.
Right. But for the current price of some insane amount per ounce, like it doesn't equate to the actual like intrinsic value. Like it's mostly speculative.
Right. And so what's interesting about that is I guess it's similar to the dollar, where the dollar is supposed to be backed by gold in a way.
But it's definitely not. I mean, it used to be in like 1971.
But same with like Bitcoin. It's not backed by anything. We just, as a society, assigned value to it. And therefore, like, there is value. So because we all agree that there's value, there's value.
Yeah.
Otherwise, gold is just a fucking rock. But it does have, you know, practical applications, unlike Bitcoins and dollar bills. I guess you could use a dollar bill to roll it up to do some, like, blow or something. I guess
that is
certain reasons to exist, I guess. Not the ones that I'm familiar with, but
so it's definitely used for that. Often these days what it's used for is as a hedge against the market. And what that means is, or what a hedge is, it's a contrary position to something else. So when something moves one direction, the hedge would move in the opposite direction. So if the market were to go down, and gold is often a hedge for the market, gold goes up. And it generally has this inverse relationship.
It's like hedging your bets.
Right. That is exactly right. So, often when you think about like hedging your bets and stuff like that, you think of diversification, right? Like don't just own Apple. Don't just own Apple and Facebook. Own like the tech sector and the health sector and all these things.
Right.
And so that's like the analogy of like, don't put all of your eggs in one basket, right?
Right.
What gold tends to, or how people tend to describe gold, is solving the egg truck problem. So let's say have you ever seen like a parabola on a graph, like a something where like it increases or decreases and it looks like the graph is going to touch a line, but it never quite does?
No, I don't know what you're referring to.
Okay, so let me put it to you like this. The risk in your portfolio is reduced by how diversified you are. And the more stocks you add to this bucket of, you know, diversified assets, the lower your risk is.
Yes.
And what happens is like you lower your risk. And after about like 30 or so, you get like diminishing returns on lowering your risk. And essentially like the risk decreases and it becomes like this line that just kind of goes across. But your risk never hits zero. So they're like, there's this gap between where that line is and zero.
Yeah.
And the reason is because even though you don't have all of your eggs in one basket, all of your baskets of eggs are on one egg truck. And that, for example, might be the stock market, right?
Sure.
So diversification, we often don't talk about correlation. And so... like, if...
Yeah, I'm following. I get what you're saying, the egg truck
like
dilemma.
Like, if Apple's going down, not because of something specific to Apple, but because the market is going down, Facebook's going down, everything is also going down because the assets are correlated.
Yeah, the truck is crashing.
Right, exactly. So, great, you put your egg in a different basket, but if the truck gets T-boned, you still lost all of your eggs.
Right.
T-boned.
So gold is that like is sort of like putting eggs in a different basket on another truck.
Right, because the thing is gold is not correlated with the stock market. It's inverse. So when your egg truck crashes and you lose that value there or decreases, gold is increasing.
Why is that?
Because people tend to
go just value it more because it's like, well, if this is going bad, then this other thing
they
it's still there.
To it in times of uncertainty.
Sure.
Right. So
has gold ever crashed?
The gold drops when the stock market does really well. Although interestingly, the stock market has been doing well and gold has been doing incredibly well. And the reason is because uncertainty. There's a lot of populism and just things going on that make people nervous, and like it is just kind of doing really well because
they're weirdly mirroring each other.
I would say gold tends, yes, in a way they are. But gold tends to do better in times of uncertainty, right?
Okay.
So
what are you, like, as far as investing in it, what, all right, I guess, like, one, I want to know, what are my options? Like, what am I?
All right, like, all right, we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Okay.
I want to kind of lay out the, like, why you should care. Because first of all, like, I think that sounds really good, right? Like, I could definitely make a great argument for why you need to buy gold.
I mean, you're convincing me that I need to own some gold because I want that idea of my another egg basket on another truck.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. I mean, although I have no stake in this horse race, I kind of want to share just a few other people's thoughts on it.
Okay.
So, because, for example, Warren Buffett thinks
who?
Investing... my buddy Warren believes that investing in gold is not a great idea.
He doesn't invest in gold?
He does not. And that whole, like, digging in the ground thing, I basically bastardized a quote of his. He says, it gets dug out of the ground in Africa or someplace, then we melt it down, dig another hole, bury it again, and pay people to stand around guarding it. It has no utility. Anyone watching from Mars would be scratching their head. And it is ridiculous. What we, you know, the value of gold and how we kind of use it. And yeah. So he's spoken on it a lot. You know, and there's like videos and all the stuff you could look at from what he says. But basically he says that gold has no intrinsic value. You know, we really don't use it for anything. And even though it isn't electronics, the price is so out of whack with the actual cost it should be for the usage.
Sure.
It's highly tied to speculation, and it's a rather inefficient investment when compared to business.
I would imagine, and I don't know this for sure, but diamonds have a similar thing because I feel like they're overinflated. We do use diamond in technology, you know, as an application, but it's definitely overinflated because we as humans value the prettiness of it the same we do as gold.
Right, exactly. And perhaps maybe a big difference between the two of them is just the human race chose gold. And so
and it's interesting that to think about it from an alien's perspective, although in general, like, even business would be alien to people, sure, to aliens.
If aliens were looking at the Earth, they would think like cars were the dominant being. You know, the way we're
they would think dogs are because we're following behind them, picking up their shit.
That's right.
that's someone else's bit. But I just watched Annihilation. Have you seen that movie?
No.
It's an alien movie and a sci-fi horror. But
then I will be watching it.
Yeah, one of the ideas of it is that aliens don't want. Or this idea that, like, what if aliens don't even want anything? Like, desire is not even a thing.
Right.
Right? So it's like, they're just like, why would you even care about this rock in the ground? Like, the fact that humans have desire is alien. Mm. And I was like, that's an interesting thought.
That is.
A little deep.
Yeah.
But I can see that as being interesting. And I agree in the sense that, like, Warren Buffett believes in business and not in a rock that we guard and is of some sort of precious metal that we deem precious.
Right. And he even said, and I didn't get the exact numbers, but since he started investing, the value of the dollar has basically like cratered to like nothing. It's like one very largest number of what it was. Yeah. Yet he has multiplied his wealth like into a ridiculous level because of business. And these are income producing assets that he invests in.
Sure.
Of which gold is not.
Sure. But if we're going to go down this rabbit hole of his thought process, I think it's a little flawed because that means that humans can end up valuing anything and it be just as silly as rocks. Mm-hmm. Right. And therefore, but that doesn't like, I mean, dollar bills are as silly as just pieces of paper, right? Like, what if one day dollar bills are nothing and the real currency is water?
Yeah. Which, you know, could like be the case, you know?
Right. And it's sort of, I understand that, like, he's alive now, he's older now, He's like, I don't need to invest in gold. I'm a fucking multi-billionaire. Mm. Whatever. I don't, you know, I can,
and he doesn't
I can
believe
actively.
He believes in business. Like, he just thinks about valuating businesses. And, you know, if you were him, you know, you'd obviously be able to, you'd do well as well. Right.
Yeah.
But we're not.
For sure. Yeah.
So on the other side of the coin, there's my spirit
the
animal.
Gold coin.
On the other side of that gold coin, the tail side, is my spirit animal, Mr. Ray Dalio. Mm-hmm. And if you've watched him speak, he is nowhere near as smooth like butter as Warren is. Warren has like catchphrases and shit.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call him smooth. He's just quoted very well.
Yeah, he has very like tongue-in-cheeky type things that he's clearly thought out. Ray just kind of like talks.
Yeah.
And so his quote is, if you don't own gold, you know neither history nor economics. And whoa. Right, like
them's fighting words with Warren.
Yes, and there's actually there are videos where people like say, well, Warren Buffett says this to Ray, and he is all but called Warren stupid. He's like caught himself and he's been, you know, whatever, but his thoughts are that history repeats itself and that what we are going through is not new. And so he has correlated a lot of today's things with what has happened in like the 1930s, you know, and he said there were and not to like really get dramatic, but similar conditions of populism and whatever is how Hitler came to power. And this was all originally created also because of the wealth gap. Right. There was a huge disparity between rich and poor. And so he's looking at it from history repeating itself. And so he doesn't think you should have more than 5 to 10% of your portfolio in it. But he says that it acts similar to cash and it's an important hedge on other parts of your portfolio. And then essentially the egg truck problem.
Yeah, I am very much leaning towards the Dalio mindset.
So I want to give not one to more be, mindset, though.
Yeah, not to be doom and gloom about it, but I think I mean I like the idea of this.
Well, I think
hedging the bets of the market.
So I
and
will
diversification,
say,
obviously.
Yeah, I agree, and part of like what I've kind of inadvertently set out to do, like as we've like made the show and whatever, is you know, I want to invest successfully, automate my investments, and then as my investments grow bigger and I've become more successful, I spend more time wondering how I'm going to lose it all. Like how it's just going to get away from
me.
And I actually am less interested in like pushing up against like, I don't know, like 10, whatever, 15% returns. I would rather tone it down a little bit, but stay more steady so that I can... Yes. Like the number that I see today, I could relatively count on that number in the future, which is what excites me about or what's brought me down this hole. But I want to tell you about the last opinion that I kind of found as a major piece. And this is the central banks. Mm-hmm. So central banks like the Federal Reserve, the European Union has one, China has one, like every country has one that has a currency.
Are we really putting the pizza guy in charge of the Federal Reserve? Is that really happening?
I hope not.
And I didn't know if that was actually going to happen or not.
Mr. Herman Cain.
That was it. Herman Cain.
Yeah.
God almighty. God help us all.
Central banks often don't say what they think or what they're going to do. They just kind of do. And so I think you can, judge them by their actions. And broadly speaking, the countries of the world are de-dollarizing. So the dollar was the reserve currency. Everyone kind of had dollars as, you know, because dollar did well. It was like steady. And in the past really few years, we've changed. And so central banks bought more bullion, gold bullion, last year than any time since 1971. And that is when we stopped the... Wait, what'd you say?
I said, oh boy.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's when we stopped the gold standard. So we're buying, so central banks are buying more gold than they have ever done since when we stopped the gold standard. They added 651.5 tons of gold to their coffers in 2018, which an arbitrary number on its own, but that is 74%. That's a 74% increase on the previous year. not only are they buying a lot, but they're accelerating.
That is not a good sign, in my opinion.
And if you look at it, you know, it's Russia is selling a lot of their dollars and buying gold. China is selling dollars and buying gold.
Oh, my God.
And it's not the end of the world, but I think if sure. you look at the space that the dollar filled as this kind of alternative currency to hold,
yeah.
to, you know, gold also fills that role. You mm-hmm. can, and but the thing is, the dollar has declined in value because we've been printing it like insane, right? I mean, sure. we've just been printing as fast as we can. Gold, we've already found all the easy deposits, and the amount of gold increases by about 1.7% a year. Not all that different from inflation, honestly. And so as an asset, it makes a lot of sense because it's rather steady. And when the dollar devalues, you know, gold is worth more.
Well, no wonder it's going up in value. There's all these fucking centralized banks that are buying it.
Yeah. So,
God damn. All right.
Okay. So that's like the laying out of the argument.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's take a break. Mm. And when we come back, we're going to talk about when you shouldn't invest in gold and when you should, and then how to do it. Because this is, I think, the more actionable part of things. I need to know this because you're scaring me.
That's not the goal. It's not the goal.
I know.
Scare you.
That's not the gold. All right. Sorry. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. You're scaring me, but I don't think it's your fault, or I just might take it very... Times are turbulent.
They are, and we've been through many turbulent times.
Of course, 110%. Like, I totally agree with that. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, shit, like, this shit's the craziest it's ever been. And it's like, no, it's not. Mm. We've talked about this on a previous episode, but... I'm very interested in this idea of gold. I know a lot of people. Actually, I have a friend who invested in gold, but I believe invested in like all gold.
That's insane.
Right? Like, that's insane. You're yeah. saying. So, when do you think? What do you think I should invest in gold?
Okay,
personally, so
I personally do. Okay, but we're gonna get to what you should do in a second. I want to explain okay. all the reasons why you shouldn't and when it doesn't make sense. Because I think these are more reasons why people wind up doing it. And then if you do it for these reasons, you're going to have a shit time. It's just not going to work out.
Tell me.
So first of all, you're just not going to get competitive returns. Over the past 42 or so years, it has earned 4.8% a year on average. The stock market has earned 8.8% a year on average during the same time. Okay. So that's a combined return on gold of 720%. Oh, awesome. As compared yeah. to the stock market, which is 3,428%. Dear God, that's like exponential yeah. at its finest.
Yes, yes.
So you're going to be lagging the market with your investments in gold.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so you shouldn't invest in it because you think that gold is going to do really well, or and especially not any short-term focused things.
Or out of fear.
Right. So, you know, and just to kind of reiterate, we're going to be laying out where you essentially put about 5 to maybe max 15% of your portfolio in it. Never would I see it make sense to be a majority or even a meaningful piece.
Okay.
And then next, you shouldn't invest in it if you think the dollar is going to just lose a ton of value. And
why?
The reason that that doesn't make sense is because everything that you buy and everything that you've invested in is in dollars. And so it is uh-huh. all relative. So the only time you should care if the dollar changes in value compared to any other currency is if you are traveling, have a business that needs to buy goods and sell things internationally. If you are completely within the U.S. economy, it's all relative. And so it doesn't really yeah. matter. And so right. if you live in the U.S. and you're earning in dollars and your savings are in dollars, if you're trying to hedge against the dollar crashing with gold valued in dollars, like
right.
it's just stupid.
Right.
It just doesn't
the same thing.
Does not make sense.
Right. Okay.
So if you think the government's going to shit, you know, maybe, but it should have nothing to do with the dollars or anything related to that. And you're certainly not going to get competitive returns.
Mm.
So those are the reasons you should not invest in gold.
Okay. Well, or those are like, those are just true statements as opposed to like, as a, like not opposing gold, but like be aware of that as you invest in gold or not.
Yeah.
Is that you're going to get, you know, less than average returns. If you think money is going to become worthless, then I have news for you. So will gold, because it's measured in dollars. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, it's not a, I feel like it's a doomsday sort of prepper mindset for gold, right? It's like the Ron Swanson, you know, the libertarian view of, you know, burying gold in your backyard. Like, it, you know,
and we don't want it to be that. And that is not how we're portraying it.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're not doomsayers. At the end of the day,
No, I am not.
5 years from now, I believe that everything will be better than it is today. There may be some dips, whatever, but we're
there's always dips.
Right. We're doing positive, thoughtful planning.
Yep.
Okay. So, in terms of what I'm doing the golden butterfly, which we talked about on a previous episode.
Yep, which you should listen to if you have not, because it was one of our more popular episodes, because it's very insightful and enlightening.
Yeah.
As opposed to when it comes to pure diversification of investments.
And it is kind of straight to the point, specific.
Yep.
I think if you haven't listened, you'll love it. Mm-hmm. And in the golden butterfly, it's actually just five groupings of 20%, you know, allocation.
Yep. So,
and
as opposed to the Ray Dalio,
which is 7.5% gold.
Right.
And so, if you had all of your money put in this golden butterfly, you would essentially have 20% of everything you have in gold. And mm-hmm. I am doing the golden butterfly to the T, mm-hmm. but it is a portion of my larger assets. So mm-hmm. it winds up becoming, it's a very small percentage. And so I could never imagine it being greater than 10% of my total net worth or is in gold.
Yeah, that seems good. Mm. It's like kind of, it's not 20, it's not 7.5. 10 to 15 would be kind of where I would sit as well. Maybe more towards 10, I think.
Yeah, and look, it's essentially its purpose is in the worst case scenarios.
Sure.
It will make up for, you know, not all maybe, but a meaningful amount of losses that you might find elsewhere in your portfolio.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it is used as a hedge, so it's something that will really only perform well when everything else is not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do you do the golden butterfly but only do 10% of gold? Where does the other 10% go for that 20% makeup?
So I wouldn't even suggest switching up the golden butterfly setup. It is set up like that for a reason, like statistical mm-hmm. analysis and stuff like that. So if you're doing the golden butterfly, you know, do the golden butterfly. And truth be told, you may invest all your money in the golden butterfly, but you will maybe own a home at some time. You may mm-hmm. have a 401k and whatever. And so you are just going to have other assets. So gold will become a smaller amount.
Right. Okay. So how do I do it? Because right now, I don't know where I would go to invest in gold. Can I invest in gold through Betterment? Because I'm always going to ask that.
You can. You cannot.
You can.
You cannot.
You cannot.
You cannot. I mean, if you had 100,000 or more invest with Betterment, there is a possibility there. But
okay.
Generally, you can't. So first of all, you could just go and buy GLD. And if you have, like, I don't know, Fidelity, Schwab, insert name,
whatever broker,
Robinhood, you could do that.
Just buy the ticker.
Right. What I have done, and this is just how I did it, there's this free tool called M1 Finance, and you essentially make a pie, and you set your allocations, and it will just every month put into that, and it'll account for drift. And so we'll put it in the show notes here as well, what the golden butterfly is. But basically, I did that, set it to go, and now it just is buying GLD as part of my monthly, you know, it's 20% of my monthly contribution to the golden butterfly.
Are you using M1 Finance for everything?
No.
No. So it's just for what?
Just for this golden butterfly piece.
Okay. So an M1 Finance right now is a, because I don't know what it is. Is it like a Betterment system? Is it a robo advisor in a way?
It's like loosely a robo advisor. There really is no actual advising. Maybe there's just a bit of robo in there.
Okay.
What it is a more DIY investor style tool that will allow you to make up your own portfolio composition and kind of maintain it over time. So automated deposits, controlling from like drift.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
So it's kind of a brokerage firm middleman between
But it's you free. And the, it's completely free.
But it's free.
You know, it's like there's no minimum invest.
Meaning whatever. It's not free, right? They take some
There's percentage. No fees. Nope.
Why is it, how do they make money?
They have an aspect of the platform called borrow, and you could borrow against your investments and they make money on the margin.
Ah, okay.
So, and I would never advise anyone do that because then you're in a hole. It's a very bad idea.
Sure.
So the core product, which I imagine you'd stay within, is free. Okay. And it's good.
Yeah. Is there another way to do it where it's just like, I just set up an account with, I don't know, like Robinhood, I guess is the easiest way to do it, right? It's
yeah. So there is an ETF. Mm-hmm. The ticker is GLD. Mm-hmm. And in Robinhood, you can just like literally buy that or Fidelity or whatever.
And that means you own a portion of gold.
A portion of the reserve that the fund owns.
Right.
And then they're handling all the bullshit stuff like the guards and the whatever.
Right.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that seems... You know, I have to look into Robinhood, I think, because I would like to own just individual stocks, like just of companies that I like, because I think I'm at that point now where, you know, like Betterment is very easy. I love it so much. I've been using it for since we started the show. I continue to like I just upped my IRA to a SEP IRA. I just started a Smart Saver account as an opportunity fund. As an opportunity fund. And I think I just want to start investing in like individual things. Like I want to have some gold. I want to have some Tesla, some Apple, some like companies that I'm just like, hell yeah, that company's awesome. Mm. Like just give me a piece. I just want a little piece of it. But I don't want to like, you know, buy and sell it. I just want to own a little bit. And I think Robinhood's been kind of where my brain is going for what app I want to use to do that.
Look, the app is awesome. Like it's really tight.
Yeah.
And it's free.
That's yeah. I mean, and what is it? Like, is you start a bank account with them and then you buy through, they're like a brokerage account. It's the same as like ShareBuilder was and
yeah, Fidelity they're a brokerage account. So you don't even, it's not even, you just open a brokerage account, you transfer your money in and then it sits there until you invest it in whatever.
Right. Okay. Got it. Yeah. I might do that. I will do that this year.
We got a long year, so you have plenty of time.
Yeah. Still early. Is there anything else we should mention before we head out about gold and investing in it?
Just again, like, don't want to incite any sort of fear or anything with this. That is not the purpose, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And I am not fearful of whatever is coming.
Neither am I.
It's just being, like, prudent and strategic, you know? And then with the eye to automation. Because at the end of the day, like, if I have to make the picks between who's going to win and who's going to lose, I will pick wrong every time.
Yes.
And so at least, I'm going to make broad decisions and let the computers just automate it.
Cool. All right. Well, that's good. If you missed anything in this episode, we'll have everything in the show notes. As we do, you can either check your preferred podcast app or visit listenmoneymatters.com/show and subscribe wherever you normally listen to podcasts and tell your friends about us and point them to your favorite episodes. Hopefully, they'll become a subscriber. And I would like to point out that everyone should go listen to the Golden Butterfly episode. Mm. We did mention that earlier. I think that was one of the more helpful investment episodes that we've done when it comes to playing it safe and being diversified. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
Cool. So if you have any questions or topics, if you have any questions about this topic or more topics you'd like us to talk about, because obviously people did email us, Jamal one of those people who had emailed us to talk about this subject. We do listen. Huh? Mm. We listen, Money Matters. Huh? All you have to do is email us at listenmoneymatters@gmail.com. And all the tools and resources that we mentioned on this show, including M1 Finance, Robinhood. I don't know if we mentioned anything else in this one.
Basically, like, you just take the any product name you've ever heard of in your life, like sandals, yep, and you just put listenmoneymatters.com/ in front. So
there you go.
listenmoneymatters.com/Robinhood. Before this episode goes live, listenmoneymatters.com/sandals. You can go to my favorite sandals.
Fair enough.
Anything/, you know, yeah.
Okay, so if you don't want to do that, you can just go to listenmoneymatters.com/toolbox. Mm. And everything will be there. That's it. Yeah. Later, man.
Later, dude.
Please tell your friends about this show.